stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 195 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be a big show, this one. Hopefully Skype in to Tokyo, into the Olympic Village, to hear from one of our athletes. We've got weekly recaps to go through. Moose on the loose. Not much runner news. Listener questions. And all the other stuff that we do on the podcast every other week. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra. Just telling me how good the weather's been up there. Bradley Croker, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a very, very wet winter. So I think I've been running through puddles for about a month now. Well, actually, probably a bit over a month.
How's that Mulligan's holding up in the wet?
Yeah, it's okay. But on the flatter sections, you're just running through puddles, and there just hasn't been enough dry weather between the rain for it to dry up at all. So it only takes like a little bit of rain now for the puddles to get quite large. So
Didn't the star athlete of your household, Viv, roll her ankle out there on her long run on the weekend, I heard?
Did she?
That's what Carly told me. She didn't tell you?
She wasn't really impressed by how much water there was out there. And I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. And then I went out Saturday morning. I'm like, yeah, there was a fair bit of water there.
My other co-host down in Anglesey, the Olympic marathon athletes coach, gearing up for our first Olympics coming up. Ali Pashley's not this weekend, next weekend. Julian Spence, how you going? Getting a bit nervous?
I'm so nervous right now.
Are you? Yeah. Even this far out.
Absolutely.
Handing over control now, aren't you?
Well, that's the problem.
You got nothing now.
Actually, today was like a massive hit to like to how I was feeling. Just, I think it's been so much built around the preparation in terms of like the methodology of the coaching and the programming, the heat, the nutrition, the pre-cooling. There's just been so many intricate details to be working with, and all that's finalized and finished now. And then just watching the Olympics, I was like, fuck, this is like just a really kind of nervous, anxious, proud, like scared time for someone. I mean, me, I'm not even going to be there, and they're all the things I'm feeling. I can't imagine what it's like for an athlete.
Yeah, it's got real the last couple of days, hasn't it? Obviously started with all the opening ceremony on Friday night. I know we were messaging each other during the road race the other day, the cycling, and then to think that our guys are going to be there like the end of this week and then the week after. Like these are people we know, personalities we've heard so much from over the years, and then they're going to be on that TV screen representing our country's I don't think I've ever been this excited about an Olympics because we've got so much buy-in this time around. Mm. Like, were we doing the podcast in 2016?
No. No, we weren't.
Yeah. So, it's the first time we've had the podcast and know so many of their personalities and stuff as well. And, of course, like, we know Ali on that whole different level as well, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's been such a long time between when I guess people started looking at qualifying, and then when it's actually happening, it's been even more drawn out than normal, like another 12 months on top of already the anxious period beforehand. It must be so much more difficult for all the athletes. And I think it creates more nervousness because there's more to lose almost. There's like an extra year of prep you've done. And I was just watching the surfing today and how nervous I got in the last 5 minutes when someone needed a score. just thinking, this is like, this is going to be their last Olympics, most likely. Surfing's pretty young sport. People come through and we've got a couple of veterans out there in the water, the Australians. I'm like, this is their only chance. And they got 5 minutes to get one wave and then it's all over. And yeah, they've known about the Olympics for a long time. I was just getting nervous for them.
Yeah, and then we're recording Monday night, so Ali and that will still be in Cairns. I think the track and field athletes are starting to get there now.
Yeah, the track athletes, most of them have left now, and they've arrived already. I think they arrived this morning to the village. They fly from Cairns to Sydney and over to Tokyo, and the walkers and the marathoners will do the same trip, except they'll fly from Tokyo up to Sapporo, so it's a little bit longer again. A big day of travel for those guys, and apparently entry into the country takes anywhere from like 3 to 8 hours to go through all the protocols.
Yeah, and they're still what, like 12 days away from their race? Still such a long time to wait.
Well, is it? I mean, I was thinking that today. I'm like, 12 days, that's nothing. That's like 12 days is nothing. It's so close.
As you know, Moose, like when you've been doing a marathon block and you've been running so much and then you cut that right back, 12 days feels like a bloody eternity.
Yeah, there's a bit more energy floating through the body you don't get out through running, isn't there?
You feel like you should almost be doing more because you've just like that's all you've been doing for the last however many weeks.
Yeah,
I more meant that some people are finished and going home already, and they haven't even left our country yet, and still got 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, I'd rather be in Australia than over there right now. I'd get there as late as possible, to be honest. Like with the village set up and the COVID risks.
Yeah, and the protocols and all that. Yeah, well, yeah. Hopefully, we'll hear from Ben Buckingham shortly when we try to get him on the line after our weekly recaps. Who wants to go first, fellas? Any volunteers?
Croats? I want to hear about Moose's week.
Well, can I go second and then Croats, can you go third just so I can tee up Ben in the background while you're going?
Yeah, it's fine.
Moose is back.
Oh, no. Why would you want to hear about my week?
Because it seemed like you were back last week and then you sort of went missing on Strava, so I'm not sure you are back.
Well, no, yeah. Well, not back, I can guarantee you that. but I was back running more. So I finished on this. I think we recorded the Sunday night after I did a workout that morning. Oh, no, the Monday night, but I was pretty beat up.
On the track.
I was pretty beat up, yeah. So the next morning I ran in Anglesey and I had like really sore calves, the left side more sore than the right side. And I even had sore like quads. It was just way out of my depth doing that workout, but it was worth it. Just to give the last helping hand. After that 8K on the Monday, on Tuesday, I woke up with a really sore calf. And I also, over breakfast, my back, like I have done in the past. And so I knew I wasn't running that day because I got real tight and everything locked up. And that was actually when it was Wednesday. My back was really sore and my calf was still kind of sore. On the Thursday, I actually came out in a bruise in my calf. So I think I might have strained it quite badly, but I got going pretty quick towards the end of the week. So I don't know about that. Thursday, I gave it a little test run, like 2 minutes. I thought I was going okay, but my back was just too sore to run. And so Friday I got out and I was pretty excited. I got out for 8K. The first probably 3K were a bit rough on the back, a little bit too harsh, like real jolty feel. But then it loosened up a little and it felt really nice to go out for a run. Saturday I met up with Jose, Ali's husband, down at Currawong Falls. It's a couple of K out of our 5K limit. I'll be honest with you. It's like 2K out as the crow flies. But there's no one there. It's like dead empty. It's just isolated. So we didn't run into anybody, didn't pass anybody on the trail, whatever. So got in just 11K over some single track. And then Sunday ran in Anglesey, 18.36K. Kind of, I think it was about like, maybe like 350 metres of hills. Body felt better. So everything was coming together. I still have a sore knee where I've got that cartilage issue, but I'm hoping that that will sort of get more conditioned when I run more. Just got this fingers crossed kind of set up about that. So in the end, it was 46.45K, but back weighted due to back issues.
So this week, following on where you left off before you hurt your calf and went up to Queensland, like back to 100?
I'll just see how it goes.
See how it goes, okay.
I really think I need to, like, I'm a long way back and I'm in a different position than when I've ever come back in the past, like, 5 years. So I need to get more comfortable with daily totals of 8, 10K rather than daily totals of like 20, 24. Like when I have come back in the past, I've been able to jump in pretty quickly. So I need to get more comfortable just not running as much and supplementing with, I've got a spin bike. So we got a spin bike for when Bree comes back after the baby, so she can do some workouts. So I think I might jump on that like every other day and do like a high intensity kind of spin session.
Purchase of the week in early there, Brad.
Yeah. Telling you that full moose.
Just a new spin
about
bike.
2 months. We got this before
not,
we left.
They're not cheap. They're not cheap either, those spin bikes.
We have an account with the with the distributor at our work. So it's half price basically. And it's I didn't plan on using it at all, but I think it'll come in kind of handy. I set it up yesterday and jumped on it, and then I was like, oh, this is actually pretty comfortable, like pretty nice. Like it's not like bike riding where you're hunched over. You can set the handlebars up real tall so it's nice on your back, and you can make it as comfy as possible.
Yeah.
No flat tires, you stay dry.
Yeah. No weather.
No headwind.
Do good things.
No cars.
You can put TV on.
Yeah.
Gee, there's a few. Yeah, I like it. I might go do it after this.
Gee, benefits there. Just looking at your Strava, though, you're right about coming back from this, because in the last 13 weeks, I reckon you've been over 100K twice, three times.
Yeah. Yep. And even
like
now,
someone's
some
teeth
of those
has just had been punched in the mouth, holes everywhere.
Some of those are probably weeks where I've clocked a run when I was on the bike.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That could be the case as well. I don't know. I probably need to go back and delete some to get accurate figures. But, yeah, that's how it is. I'm actually, like, I'm keen to be patient this time. And even today, I did an hour. I didn't need to do an hour. I was probably done at 45 minutes, but I couldn't get back because like Brad down here, it's pissed rain and all the trails are like super mushy and there's puddles that cover them. So my way home today for 45 minutes was like a lake, and so I had to go the long way home. But that's so it's, yeah, I'll just take it easy and then just gradually climb.
Well, the positive is, Moose, like, look at the way the world is at the moment. There's nothing to train for.
Absolutely. And I've seen what you've done and how fit you've got, sort of being patient with it and just restraining yourself a little. And that sort of, that's been a bit of a, I guess, an inspiration to be able to work like that.
Oh, thanks, Moose. Right, that's a nice thing you've ever said.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's rare that I give
it out. It took nearly 4 years.
Someone make a meme about that one, please.
It's been good by you. I thought you were just a pussy, but now I'm starting to realise you might be an old wise man.
Well, it's just about working out what's sustainable week in, week out.
Yeah, and how much different you would be running 160 versus 130 over the course of a year if you're linking 130s together.
Yeah.
You look at your Strava croaks, and that's looking a whole lot better.
Well, I've done some
that one down week, but you've been looking the right the whole year.
If I keep going to the end of the year like this and average like 125K for the whole year, that will be my second largest volume year ever. outside of like 2018. So it goes to show like how many times throughout a year you often miss weeks due to maybe doing a little bit too much. You know, I've had big blocks where I've done 160, 170K, but then I've missed a few months and then you end up averaging 120 for the year. So whereas this year I'll just be pretty much 125, you know, week in, week out, hopefully.
That's good. We'll talk about you in a second, though. I'll just whiz through this, though, so I can see if I can get through to Tokyo. Monday, hour easy at, I don't know what pace that was. I haven't got it written down in my diary here, but it was 13.5K. Must be under 4.30s. And then 7K in the afternoon after work at 4.39 pace. Tuesday, did a workout. I was planning to do 45 minutes worth of 2 minutes on, 1 minute float. Heaps of rain. It was meant to meet Archie. Got to the spot. He wasn't there. Just warmed up and down the road for 5 minutes waiting for him. He still wasn't there. 10 minutes later, still wasn't there. At this stage, I'm fuming because it's hammering down rain, big workout, and he hasn't rocked up. And then I started the workout. Rain kind of stopped for a bit. Started the workout. I was kind of running 303s, 304s for the 2 minutes on and 335s for the 1 minute float. Did three, was pretty much over it. I was just miserable. Like the paces were coming fine. I was hitting it all good, but I just didn't want to be there. It was just sucked doing it solo. I wasn't motivated, just real down in the dumps. I reckon if someone like had a camera on me, it would have looked like I was about to cry, I reckon, running down this road, just getting smashed with rain and wind and stuff. Did three, told myself we'll try to do six sets of it. Got to six, then I thought I'll run back down the road. Got to nine, was going to call it at 10, but then got back up the road and finished at 12. So not the workout I wanted to do, but still pretty decent. 36 minutes at 3:15 average that one was. And then I got back to my car and Archie had actually messaged me the night before saying he was sick and wasn't going to be there, but I just hadn't seen that message yet. So I was running around pretty angry, pretty annoyed that he hadn't rocked up and he'd actually already put in his apology why he wasn't going to be there. So but it was just, I just rated my Strava, like all-time motivational, like low, I reckon. I just... Yeah, with no races on, I feel like just dipping into that bucket of just trying to come up with reasons why we need to get out there and string together training. And when it's wet, it's cold, your training partner's not there, you got no races. It's just like, just why are we doing this kind of thing? But got out that afternoon for 7K at 4:30s. And then I that was my down in the dump day. And then the rest of the week, I actually had a really good headspace, kind of... ticked everything off that I wanted to. So Wednesday I did 90 minutes at 4:19 pace in the morning, 7K in the afternoon at 4:21s. Thursday, Hudson had a really rough night Wednesday, so I was up a bit in the night with him. So I didn't run Thursday morning, but then just ran when Carly got home from work Thursday afternoon, did 60 minutes. And then remember Moose when he used to get me doing like 150 meter strides, like full gas, like just lighting up the road kind of thing?
I'm not sure whether they were ever
lighting
up
the road.
I should have seen me out front of my house doing that.
I remember giving you strides.
No, but they were 150s. It'd be like when I was doing marathon stuff, this would be like the third session of the week.
You would kind of, there would be progressions, I reckon. That's how you, I mean, maybe I didn't explain that well enough.
I just said
someone's up and about if he reckons he's lighting up the road.
Should have said, check my splits on Strava Cross. I think I was running like 230K pace. Anyway, I've added them back in because I'm like, I need some top end speed here just in case I'm going to start getting a bit stale doing some longer stuff. So I just do me 60 minutes and then I get back home, put on the old Nike Streaks. So really like not much in those shoe at all. And then I've got this speed hump in our street and I pretty much just go full gas from the speed hump through to the driveway, which is about 21 seconds if I'm going all right, 22 if I'm struggling a bit, and then just jog back, which takes me about 90 seconds, and then did that six times. And you feel alive doing that kind of stuff. And then I just jog about 2 or 3 minutes at the end there. So that was my Thursday, which was like 17K by the time you do all that. And then Friday... Archie was still sick, so I was doing this solo. I wanted to set myself a really easy workout that wasn't going to cause me any stress. It was going to put no pressure on me. So I come up with a workout where I was going to do 9K, and every 3K I was going to change gears. So I was going to do 3K at 3:30s, 3K at 3:20s, 3K at 3:10s. Nothing special about that, just a little tick the box kind of workout, just something that was going to be easy to get out of the car. And once I got going, I was fine. Like I went 3:22s for the first three, 3:15s for the second three, and 3:03s for the last three. And it's like my body's fine. And like fitness wise, like I think I'm going all right, but my head just doesn't want to do it at the moment. So it's this battle I'm having where I've kind of got a, well, I thought I had to set myself an easier workout just to go and do something. But then once I actually get going, like my, the pace is easy to hit and my heart rate does good and all that kind of stuff. But it's just this battle I'm having at the moment between the old, the mind and the body. So that was good workout. Felt good, felt strong, good bang for your buck one. If anyone's looking for a good, you know, 30, 40 minute workout to end how quick you run, I think you'd tick a few boxes doing that and it doesn't take you too long out there.
The good thing about those sessions, Brady, are like, as you said, if your motivation's not great, you know that you're going to get through the first third to half, even three quarters of the session quite comfortable.
Yeah.
And so you only have to really focus for 10 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's quite fun. Like you get to the hardest bit and you're still feeling pretty fresh. And I just did it like, you know, kind of 4.5K out, 4.5K back. So kind of didn't have to think too much. Friday night, just while I was waiting for the pizza pickup, I just jogged 5.7K. I think it was 25 minutes at 4:23s. Saturday, got out for an hour at a bit over an hour, 14.5K at 4:22s. And then Sunday, Archie was back, and Paddy Stowe, the kid from Albury, who's up here doing physio rounds, finally came for a run with us. He's been here for about 5 weeks, I think. Haven't seen him at all, but finally came to a Sunday long run, which was good of him. We did, or Archie did 20 because he was coming off being sick. Paddy did 29K, and I did 34K. Same as you boys, everything was washed out, so we kind of had to hit some bike tracks. Averaged 3:59, which was good. Kind of when Paddy dropped off at or finished up at 29K, just try to pick it up a tiny bit, and just rolled a couple of
croaker pace, croaker long run.
You know, I didn't even have like I just had my stopwatch face on as well, and I kind of was like, "Whoa, this is all right. I'm going all right here."
Do you know the difference though? Croaker, he goes over like 600 meters of fucking climbing, and you go over 20.
And I'm on perfect, like by far the whole way. Like you didn't even have to look at where you put your foot for like the whole 34K.
Yeah. Imagine throwing 600 meters of climbing into that long run and still averaging the same
pace. I don't do 600. I do about 300.
Imagine throwing him in Moama for a long run, Moose. He'd average like 3:35s.
Yeah, he would actually.
Yeah, that would be scary.
He would kill himself. I don't think his joints would keep up with himself.
Yeah, just freshy every Sunday. Anyway, so that was good, and I did feel good. I took a gel halfway through it just to make sure I could get through it all. So, yeah, it was a week of 163K, which was good to hit under 63K because I only doubled 4 out of 7 days. But room to move if I need to start prepping for a marathon, but kind of just, I think that's a pretty general week where you're like, well, you kind of going 34K. So that's kind of some good prep for a marathon. Still doing some fast rides, still doing a fartlek, ticking a few boxes there. Motivation's back in, maybe just a glitch in the simulation, fellas. Should have seen how many DMs I got about that chat last week. There's a big audience out there for Galaxy Chat.
You mean for conspiracies?
Well, there was one bloke that sent me a message. I wish I knew his name. He said he'd done some research into it, and he said there is a bigger chance that the world we're living in is a 10-year-old's science project from another planet and galaxy than it is that we are actually living in reality.
Yeah, okay, good.
So when things aren't going right, you're not motivating stuff. It's just your algorithm. That's all it is.
Was his research watching Men in Black?
People are sending me podcasts to listen to. There's some good little theories getting around there with Galaxy Chat. So, and I've been hearing Ali talking about like the flat Earth stuff on Road to Nowhere. Like, I reckon that's a bit too far, but this Galaxy stuff, we could be onto something here, I reckon, guys.
It's Joe's the flat Earth. He's big on that.
What about Ali reckon she's doing it when she crosses the line at Sapporo? When the camera's on her, she's going to do the flat Earth sign.
Hopefully there is a camera on her crossing the line. I think that's a sign of a good day if there's still a camera on you.
True enough. They show the top 30, don't they? Top 20?
Yeah, I think they do, actually.
Yeah, they show them coming in. Bruce McAvaney be calling her in across the line.
Well, yeah, so it's not Mona.
It's not Mona doing it. You're kidding.
It's not Mona.
We were talking about this, weren't we?
I asked him today. I said that's disappointing because he's very good at it.
Because he did Rio.
I didn't listen to the Australian one in Rio. I've just watched the YouTube back, and it's not the I think it's the American commentary, no. Or it might be the whatever. It wasn't Mona.
Who's it going to be then? Like Bruce will definitely have it, but who else with him?
Well, there is that Dave Colbert
not creature. Not for the marathon, though.
Hopefully not. But he did call the triathlon.
Today, did he?
Apparently from Docklands Stadium. So he's
why don't they Skype you in, Croaks? You're good at commentary.
Huh. There no, should thanks. Be. I prefer to watch it. I prefer just to sit back and watch it on
you,
the couch.
You can't give it to Tams and Manu, can you? She's a track 800-meter runner.
You have to. There should be distance athletes commentating distance events. Throwers get some words in on the throws. Sprinters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how it should be. That's where the
I reckon it will be Colbert, though.
But when we turned on today at school, Luke Darcy was on one of the panels. Like, he plays AFL football. I said to the kids, I'm not sure what this guy's doing.
He's more of just a presenter. General host.
Oh,
yeah.
Is he? Yeah, okay. Yeah. We had it on like, mute. Yeah, his face just flashed up.
He's not commentating any sports.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
The surfing's commentated by Barton Lynch, who is a WSL commentator. And that guy has energy. Like, he can go for about, the heats are like 25 minutes. And or 30 minutes maybe, and he can go for like 8 hours straight, just non-stop excitement. That's the kind of person you need for the marathon, because there's some long spells.
I didn't mind the road cycling the other day. Like, I was probably like a 6 out of 10 interested in that, and then they got me like 8, 9 out of 10 interested in it. Like, the commentary made me more engaged in it, which I think is a good. And even the skateboard, I didn't mind the skateboard, and they were pretty good as well. Like, I kind of didn't know much, but then I watched it for an hour, and I'm like, hey, these guys have sold me on it.
They're insightful because, A, they have passion, and B, they have knowledge, but also they've been told to, you can tell there's a direction to explain the sport through the commentary for a layperson, and that's, I think that's really good, especially with these new events. I'm just not sure how that's going to play out in a marathon.
I do think we've got the option, though, like, to, because that 7 Plus app, I reckon if you watch it through there, you get different commentary. It's like the global commentary. Yeah. So whoever they've got on the Australian feed, if it's ordinary, because Bruce would be good. I like Bruce.
At least on the Australian feed, you'll get relevant updates on the Australians though.
Yeah.
So you'll probably want that going, right? Yeah. The front of the pack will, like, the, they'll just focus on the front of the pack on the international stream.
Yeah. All right, Croaks, you take us through your week, and then I'll see if I can get our guest in the background while you're going.
All right.
I will be listening, though.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I had a bit of a missed week. So I went to the gym Monday morning, and then Monday afternoon, I think I mentioned last Monday, I was sort of feeling a bit sick again. So I just went out for my 2 laps of Mulligan's. GPS was a bit shortchanged me by about 150 metres over 14K, which is a little bit. So 427s according to the GPS was probably more like 422,
423. Noise you as well, saying 427.
It was just one of those runs where I was just like feeling sick. My hip was just tight for the first like, and it's pretty much been every run that I do now for the first 30 minutes of a run. I have no control over my left foot. It pretty much just slaps. It's like nothing hurts, but it's just tight. And I have no control until it actually loosens off. And sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's 45 minutes, and then I feel good. But it just sort of puts you in that negative mindset, because you're like, my body is not moving the way it should move. Anyway, so that was Monday. Tuesday, still wasn't feeling great. And because of the shit run on Monday and the weather was horrendous, I basically just canned the full day. Like, I didn't even go out to meet the people at the track. I just said, won't be there tonight. Feeling a bit crook, body's not great. So I had the day completely off. And then Wednesday afternoon, I went out and I was like, oh, let's see how this hip goes. And yeah, felt pretty ordinary once again for like the first 30 minutes, and then actually felt really good. Like, having the day off, I was pretty fresh. So I averaged 4:08 for 20K. Thursday, just another hour, 4:14s. I was in the morning actually. And then in the afternoon, because we actually had some nice weather, I went out and did another 32 minutes at 4:20s. So banked some miles while the sun shines. I titled the run. And then my first session for the week was Friday. So I met the group that I train with on a Friday morning out at Mulligan's, and we were going to do a like tempo followed by some 30-second reps. So did a 25-minute tempo, averaged about 3:22s for that, which was okay. Like, it took a little while to warm up into it. Took 4 minutes rest after the tempo and then did 5 30-second reps on the flat off a minute recovery. So that was Friday. Then went to the gym that afternoon. Saturday, 4:12s in the morning for an hour. And it was, it was wet on Friday out at Mulligan's, but then we had a shitload of rain that night. And so Saturday, there was puddles everywhere. And then Sunday, motivation wasn't super high, just because the weather was like just pretty ordinary here. So Saturday night, I thought we're going to lose power. It was like one of those real wet, windy nights, and it wasn't much better Sunday morning. So I basically just chilled out, watched the swimming in the morning, and just one of those runs where you just put off. And also, I knew that Mulligan's was just going to be too wet for, like, I didn't want to just run through 30 k's worth of puddles, and so I decided then to run from home. But the problem with running from home is you're on this main road, which actually, Moose, you've run up it from when I left, when you ran home from Mulligan's that day. That gradual uphill, and so on the way home, I knew the last 5k was going to be all, like, it's not a steep uphill, but it's all uphill, and it's like a wind tunnel. So like 40k an hour headwind going up a hill for the last 5k. But so anyway, I started off at 3 o'clock, and first 15, 20 minutes, my hip was still like just giving me the shits, and I thought, oh, here we go, this is going to be an unenjoyable 2 hours. And then after about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, I'm like, I actually feel really good. And because it was a different long run to what I normally do, in that it probably wasn't quite as hilly and it was more on the road, like, it felt probably easier than most of my other long runs. So I ended up averaging 4:03s for just over 2 hours, or 30.26K. Finished the run, and it was like apparent temperature was -3 because of the wind chill factor. But I was pretty happy with how that felt.
At 4 o'clock, it was -3.
About 5 o'clock, just before 5 o'clock, it was apparent temperature was -3.
Feels like.
Yeah, because it was...
You always go with that one. That's the better one to go.
When it's 5 degrees and it's 30k an hour wind with gusts of 50, it feels pretty bloody cold. So anyway, it was a week of 120k with only one session. And like, my body's okay. I just have to put to the back of my mind, like, I know that at the moment, every run that I do, for the first part of it, it's really... I don't know if you guys have ever experienced, but it's really foreign. It's like... your brain is telling your legs to do one thing, or you know, how you should run, but then because of some tightness, it's like it just can't do it, and it feels you almost feel like you're just dragging one leg along until things actually warm up and loosen off, and then it's like, oh, I know how to run again. So anyway, I get some treatment on Friday. Hopefully that improves it, but there's definitely no pain, so I wouldn't call it an injury.
Maybe you should start doing some drills before you run, not just banded stuff or stretching, but doing some, like A skips, B skips, that kind of thing, to just try to get kicks. Yeah. Get everything firing.
Well, even so, yesterday before my long run, because I thought, that's the other reason I ran in the afternoon, is like I knew that my body would be better in the arvo. I was actually running down the hallway before I went for my run, just to see whether that made any difference. But I just got to work out exactly what can release it, other than having to run for 30 to 40 minutes.
So both you fellas here, and I kind of brought it up in my week, a few people in the same boat, this whole motivation thing at the moment, doesn't matter if you're living in, well, Victoria, there might be a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Sydney's obviously in a bit of strife. They're not going to be racing in a while. What's the piece of advice that people can take home with? I just got a message before. It said, my bag of tricks is getting real low with motivation to get out the door and run at the moment. That was just off a listener. Have you got anything to add? What are we doing?
Go back to the reason why you run in the first place. Like, nobody, there's not too many that are actually going to the Olympics. Not too many do this as a job. Why do you run? Like, have a think about it. Write down why you run. And once you understand the purpose of, like, why you feel driven to go running, or what you get out of it, I'm sure that you'll find it a lot easier to start going out. I've got no issues with motivation right now, given I've been injured for so long. But there are a lot of people screaming to go running right now, and you're pretty privileged if you've got the health to be able to go and do it. Mm. So there's two things.
Flip it that way, yeah, good thinking. Think about it the other way around. Yep. Croaks, anything?
What's the alternative? You know, like you don't run, but then I'm going to be more pissed off and feel grumpy because I'm not running.
Yeah.
And I know that while ever I just like, and I think the benefit of this period is there's no, like, you don't need to put any pressure on yourself because there's nothing in the near future. So you can, as what you did last week, Brady, like choose sessions that you know you can do that are enjoyable, even dial them back by 10-15%. It doesn't matter. And most people should probably dial back sessions by 10 or 15% anyway, and then they're training effectively rather than always pushing the envelope, which most people do. So, dial the intensity back, dial the mileage back by 10%, 20%. Like I was going to say to you, Brady, like, you know, if your motivation's low, like you don't need to be running 100-mile weeks at the moment.
Yeah, another thing I was thinking about as well is even just checking the weather, like. If, like, doing workouts, I hate doing workouts when it's wet and windy. But if I got the option to do a workout on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday, it's going to be beautiful weather on the Wednesday when I check the weather at the start of the week, and it's going to be much more enjoyable for me. I'm just going to change them from now on just to make that work and, you know, put less pressure on, be more enjoyable. Like, we're not training for something that's in a week's time that we need to have absolutely perfect preparation for. You just need to get to the end of every week going, yeah, done a long run, done a couple of workouts, I'm still going, still motivated.
And also try and remember back to those times when you have been injured and haven't been able to run and how much it sucks. Or think about, I'm sure most people know somebody pretty close to them that can't run at the moment or hasn't been able to run for a long time, like Ben Wisby, who used to coach me. He was a past guest, and he had that massive streak of I don't know how many years, but he pretty much hasn't run for over a year now because of foot issues. And, it took a long time for them to diagnose what was going on. And I think he has surgery again tomorrow. So, you know, he hasn't been able to run for a year. So he'd give everything to be able to go for a run at the moment.
In the piss and rain and massive wind. He'd love that. Yeah. Good one. Mm-hmm. Good map. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully that's, good for a few people. Let's thank some Patreon supporters, fellas. Bucks is just a few minutes off, he reckons. Not sure what he's doing over there in the village, but we'll talk to him hopefully in a minute. Kick us off, Croaks, who you got?
I've got Alan Michie this week, maybe from Berkeley Vale in New South Wales. 5K PB of 21.05, 46.26 for 10K, and 1.46 for the half marathon. Maybe spend some time in the Blue Mountains. So quality research there this week, Brady.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan, for your support.
Couldn't be too many Alan Mitchies around. I reckon I've got the right one. On Strava, but didn't follow any of us. So,
smart man.
Common Alan, give us a follow. Usually it's a giveaway when it's like who they follow. It's like got Sinead, Ali, Brett Robinson, us three. And I'm like, okay, this is the right person I'm looking for.
Did you just put us in the same category as Ali, Sinead, and Brett
Robinson? Yeah, I did. That was pretty good. Nice of me, wasn't it?
That's a mistake.
Three Olympians and three guys talking shit on a podcast every week. Moose, who are you thinking?
I'm thinking Ryan Shand. So Ryan is from Banksia Grove, WA. He's run 16:30, 35:07, 1:18:55. And at the Bunbury Marathon, he came third in 2:47. His Strava bio is doing the best I can, always learning, always growing. That's a pretty optimistic, nice way to look at things.
I like that.
He also loves his shoes, Ryan.
Good customer, is he?
He's a customer of ours. And Ryan was the guy who gifted me a Strava premium account. So I've got a lot of time for Ryan. Hook me up there.
Oh, that's good. That's nice of him.
Yeah, that was a while ago now. Probably coming up for renewal. I'll send the invoice over. No, I won't.
The Strava lady emailed us, remember, and said, if you want a free one, just let me know. You got one, didn't you, Croaks, off her?
Yeah, I did, yep.
Oh, okay, cool.
What about some of those UK guys have got that tick on there, like that Aaron Scott guy I interviewed? He's got a tick saying he's a professional athlete.
That is reaching right there.
How do you get one of those ones?
No, there's a few people like that, isn't there, that have ticks that don't deserve them?
Yeah.
Professional athletes, we'll call them. However, let's leave it there.
Could be a moose on the loose. Does it even say professional athlete? Is that what it says?
Maybe elite athlete?
It says professional athlete.
And it's got two little like arrows on it.
So the definition, as far as I'm concerned, as a professional athlete is that is your career, that is your main job, source of income.
Professional means that you get paid in some way.
If you're listening, Strava, a couple of our professional athlete arrows would be nice on our profile, thanks.
We've all been paid.
Would you be embarrassed?
I don't know. Not anymore. I'll take it when I get back to running. I'd say, what do we say, elite is? Under 220? I'll take it when we get there.
It's under 219.30, I thought.
I thought it was under 29.40 for 10K.
There's never been a 10K mentioned in that discussion.
I want to thank Alan McDougall from Coventry in the United Kingdom. 3:13 at the Chester Marathon in 2018. 1:32 for the half marathon, 41 minutes for 10K, and 19:42 for 5K. Which one are you going with there, Moose? The half the 10?
41:10. This area here confuses me a little bit. Definitely the 10's better than the 5. It's just how that lines up with the, yeah, probably the 10. Probably the 10.
He's coming back from injury at the moment, so good luck with that, Alan. Had a photo on his Strava, and in the background, that's right, I remember seeing this when I did the research, he had in the background a couple like framed up certificates, fellas, like he's got a couple of university degrees, bit of an academic, a well-educated man by the looks of things. Hopefully that was his house where he got the photo taken. Thanks, Alan, for your support. Let us know.
Do you ever go to uni?
Yeah, I'm a qualified teacher. I got a certificate.
Don't you go to TAFE for that?
Nah, that's university, four-year university degree.
4 years?
4 years. Didn't do much in the 4 years I was there.
Teach what? Children? Like under 10s and that?
Yeah, under 10s, under 6s. I think we can teach them like, you qualified primary, correct? Or you just, I've taught a bit of high school too back in the day.
No, I'm secondary.
Secondary.
I could imagine going to uni for secondary, but primary school, you're like a daycare teacher.
Primary school is way more important than secondary.
They
come in with nothing. They can't read, they aren't maths.
But at the moment they get to high school knowing nothing either. So we blame you for that.
Oh yeah, not me. The kids in a chuka know heaps when they get to high school.
Brady, tell me this.
Yeah.
Are 95% of teachers, people that have got halfway through the degree they signed up for, realised there wasn't that much work, bailed out and decided to become a teacher?
Oh, I'd say that with high school teachers, you know, those ones that maybe do like accounting and then they just do a dip ed and then they end up being a high school like maths teacher for the rest of their lives. But primary school, pretty much, they get in there, you do your 4 years, you become a primary school teacher.
You just love little children.
I like educating and contributing to the future generations of our country, Julian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a very rewarding job, seeing kids learn and stuff like that. You'd agree, folks?
I reckon you're a bit of an entrepreneur, though.
That's why I've done less and less teaching. Got out of teaching and got more into like the coaching and the podcasting and
influencing.
See, yeah, you guys, a bit of influencing on the weekend.
With teaching, Brady, I look at it and I go, "Where's the ceiling's quite low in terms of like ambition, right? Like, where do you go to if you're a teacher? Do you become a principal?
Yeah.
And then do you become like a superintendent or something? Is that that's off The Simpsons? It goes teacher,
that's
principal,
in America.
Superintendent.
Yeah. I went over to Canada actually, did like a PD trip over there for a couple of weeks when I was just out of uni looking at how schools operate over there, and they call them superintendents. You get a position of leadership. What happens? So you like have a classroom teacher, and then you might get a position of leadership in a school, and then you might go from a position of leadership, depending on the school's leadership structure, to like a deputy or a vice principal or year level coordinator, something like that, depending on how big the school is, and then you try to become a principal. And then you might go to the education office after that. That's where the big bucks are. where like the principals report to the people at the education department or the Catholic education department or whatever it is.
Right.
And yeah. Or yeah.
Not everyone wants to climb the ladder though, Moose.
I started climbing the ladder and then got out. Yeah.
Just to teach.
Just love of teaching.
Well, a lot of people get into it to like teach kids, and then the higher you get up in the leadership, the less time you actually spend teaching kids. Like one of my roles, I was sticking like OH&S stickers on like the shed where we had the chemicals and stuff, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, why is this my job?
Like, you're not qualified enough for that.
You were not in a position of leadership.
I was the deputy principal then. That's when we first started the podcast. just sticking up things. All right, you guys start telling me about some news here. I've got hang on, just talk some news for 2 seconds, Croaks. Give us a news article.
All right, well, first thing, let's mention that Brisbane has been announced as the host of the 2032 Olympics. It's scheduled to take place from the 23rd of July to the 8th of August 2032. It'll be the third time Australia will have had the Olympics, after Melbourne in 1956 and Sydney in 2000. So pretty exciting news, boys. And I know Viv, like, we're excited because like our kids will be at a pretty cool age. Like, it'll be what, 14? Yeah, like Lily will be sort of 14, which will be a pretty cool, you know, age to take kids to the Olympics and hopefully inspire them. So I hope to be up there for sure.
What if she's not into sport at all? Doesn't care about the Olympics.
Nah, well, it'll be a family holiday.
Hey, also, how old do you feel knowing that there's an Olympics that's going to be 32 years after Sydney and it's been announced? Jesus.
But it's funny you mention that, Moose, because I even feel like, I know I am old, but like this Olympics makes me feel old. Like, you know, because I'm watching these swimmers now talking about being inspired by the 2008 Olympics, watching Michael Phelps. And I'm like, I was 28 then. Like, you know, that's oldish. And these, you know, so whereas, I don't know, previous Olympics, like, you know, 2004, it was like I was 24. And you're like, you watch the Olympics feeling like super inspired going, oh, yeah, I'm not probably at my peak yet, so like maybe there's a chance, who knows. And whereas now I'm like, yeah, I'm old, and now I just watch it and, you know, basically, well, I don't know if I get inspired anymore, but
you're jealous?
Like,
do you feel jealous?
Well, I don't know if jealous is the word, but just going, well, I don't know, I think it's different when you're younger. The Olympics does inspire you to maybe improve on where you are at the moment, whereas, you know, there's only so much, like, I can't really improve anymore. But
it's exciting though, knowing it's like we're watching it on TV now and it's coming here in 11 years.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's just so far away though, you know.
Yeah, well, when you start thinking about your kids' ages, that's when it really starts letting you know how old you are. Anyway, thanks for padding there for a second, Croaks. You did well there. I think we've got Ben Buckingham on the line. He'll be representing Australia in the steeplechase on Friday. I think about midday or something. He'll be able to tell us in a second. He's in the Tokyo Olympic Village, I think. Ben, have we got you there?
Yes, Brady, gents, how are you doing?
Doing good, thanks, mate. How are you? Tell us about your last 12, 24 hours.
Well, I've just come from a romantic dinner with Stewie at the Village, our first meal, and lost track of time a little bit, which is why I was a little bit late for you boys.
First name drop, brilliant.
But it was quite classic. We saw all the lovely options of cuisine, and we went straight for the pizza and pasta, pretty traditional. Grabbed a couple of veggies and got into it, so keep it pretty straightforward until race day with the boys. And our last 12 hours, we're at a holding camp in Narita. It's about an hour away. And we pretty much just had about a week there, just running a lot of laps of a track, as that's all we could train on. So Stewie did a 90-minute long run this morning, I think, all about 40 laps, 20 one way, 20 the other. So just adapting to the altitude, to the heat, and just getting on the time zone, really.
Bucks, what was it like when you landed? Like, we've been hearing stories that it takes, you know, people a long time to get through the airport and processed. And, like, what's the general vibe around, like, Tokyo and the Olympics?
Honestly, it was pretty chilled. Like, it took about maybe 3 hours from when we landed to when we got to our accommodation. But a lot of that was just the time it took to get your COVID test result back. They just took you to a room and kept you there till you got the negative test. Otherwise, there was a lot of different checkpoints and things, but it was pretty straightforward. A little bit sleep deprived, but we all got through pretty easily.
And before you got to Tokyo or to Japan, you were St. Moritz, I think. You ran a couple of 1500s recently, like 3:39, so a bit of speed there. Is that what's been happening?
Yeah, I did the illustrious Finland tour with Rose Davies and Izzy Bat Doyle, and we raced in Joensuu in under 3K and Lapinlahti, which is a like remote regional Finnish town of 8,000 people, or around a 1500, and around like 7:49 and 3:39 in those two, and came second and fourth, which were really, really positive. And then we had a couple of days in Helsinki, and then came straight to Tokyo from there.
Okay. So no altitude for you?
No, we did a block at St. Moritz. I think it was mid to late June. Maybe after that race, I did Nice. So like we did a two, three week block there, which was, I mean, I think Julian's been there before, so he's probably raved about it a lot more than I can. But it's a sensational place to train. You've pretty much got everything from the front door, like threshold. You've got a track. You've got really good trails. You've got a pretty sort of hilly, hard long run. And we all, Nick's rule with training camps is you go back if you run well, and we all ran PBs. Stewie ran, you know, 3:48 for the mile. So I think we'll be going back there.
Mm. Yeah. Tell me more about our village life. This will be my last question before I let the other boys have a go. But like, you know, Olympic villages, you hear all these stories about them. Obviously this one's going to be a bit different with the COVID restrictions, but what's your first impressions? You just got there today?
I'm fortunate. I've got nothing to compare it to. Yeah. I went to Doha, but I haven't been in another Olympic team. So I'm just loving the whole experience. All the people, all the countries, just like a larger Australian team than just athletics, like it was in Qatar. So I think it's phenomenal. I mean, I think a few of the others have been in a few teams, probably maybe feel like they can compare it to other teams, which such as Rio and London, which are probably pretty special. But I'm just really grateful I've get to come here and race and compete in the Olympics. So I'm pretty stoked.
So do you get to like walk past the swimmers, like, you know, see them getting around and the basketballers and stuff like that, the Australian ones?
Well, I mean the honest truth is I got here about 2 hours ago, and yeah. We've literally unpacked our kit, and you're getting out. You get so many. You're not going to have to do any washing while we're here. So you get that much kit, and
so is that waiting for you when you get there?
It was waiting in our rooms. That was quite special.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm rooming with Dave, and then got a few other guys, Paddy Tin and Ed Trippers, and Jai, all with us. So it's a pretty good house.
Yeah, a bit of talent there.
Lots of fast boys, as I'm sure Julian would say.
Fast boys in the one spot.
Two or three, I won't say who.
Hey, Ben, tell me about how you think the race, the heat will play out. Firstly, how much watching of past championships have you been doing? Have you been poring through old film?
I haven't. I have previously watched a lot. I watched a lot in the lead up to Doha, but I haven't really... I haven't really poured through a few. I might go back and rewatch. But honestly, we'll see how I go. But I'm in a pretty good headspace about it. I mean, if it's slow and it's a burn up, it's just going to be, you know, reminiscent of a lot of those races around Australia when we went out in, you know, 2:55 to 3 minutes and back ended it. And I'm pretty comfortable in that sort of scenario. And if it's quick, I get a good chance to run a PB and hopefully break out 20. So I know I'm fit. I know I've had good races leading up, and I'm just really excited to see what I can do.
And when do you find out your heat list?
I don't know that. I'd assume a day before because that was what Doha was. But
yeah,
I don't know. Mm. This is my first one, mate. I'm it's very much all a new experience.
And you guys run two heats and then a final, isn't it? No semis.
No semis. I would have thought there would be three heats.
Three heats, yeah.
22 guys in a steeple heat would be a recipe for carnage. probably a fun fan experience if you're at the water jump. but for the guys racing, that would be interesting. So I assume three heats of 15. I think 12 make the final. So top three and next three fastest. Could be 15, but I think it's 12. So it's pretty cutthroat. But what I'm looking forward to is unlike Doha, like this year, I've raced a few steeples over here. I've got to know a few of the blokes that I'll be competing against. So I sort of, like, I'll have an idea of, you know, who I want to try and roll with and fight and compete against. And I'm really excited to test myself against them.
Well, nice. Can I just jump in for 2 seconds, Croaks, before you ask a question? Because just looking at the rankings, like, your PB is 8.24. Yeah, we got that right? Hope so.
Yeah.
But you look at the guys who are ranked like 19th and 20th, they've ran 8.15s. Like, there's a lot of guys in between that 20th and 40th, 45th, who are super close together time-wise. So, you're like, you have a good run. You're making the final, kind of finishing top 15, top 20. There's plenty of scalps to kind of take there, I suppose.
Well, let's be realistic. I mean, it's a very hard final to make. Yeah. I'm in good shape. I'm excited to get after it, and I want to beat as many guys as I can, and walk away with the performance I'm proud of. I mean, that's, if I do that, I'll give myself my best shot. So I as I said before, I'm just excited to get after it.
Mm.
Bucks, you're pretty new to the international circuit. You've been away from home for a long time. I just want to get your thoughts on how you've been coping with, like, living out of a suitcase for so long and all the travel. Because, you know, like, in the past, like, some athletes have struggled with, you know, living out of a suitcase and traveling so much in such a short period of time. How have you held up?
Look, it has its challenges because you're always on the go. I think I'm really fortunate that the group that Nick has and the guys and girls I've been travelling with, I get on with really well, and it's really easy passing time with them. Like, especially, like, you know, Stewie, Ramsden, Gregor, they're all just very easy to spend time with. And I think the most important thing, and the thing I enjoy most about being over here on training camps, is you get to run with guys every day. I think it'd be pretty hard if you're over here and doing a lot of things solo, but I don't think I've done a run solo in my whole time. And that's made the whole thing a lot more manageable. Plus, let's be realistic. I'm in the middle of a global pandemic, and I've got to go and see three or four new countries and race and run PBs and travel around when there's lots of people who probably should be traveling instead of me. So I'm really lucky, and I'm just trying to enjoy it.
How is the vibe there in Japan? Like, there's a lot of media press about how the country didn't want it, but it just doesn't look like that when we're watching.
Look, again, I've been here. I mean, I had a number of days in a holding camp where we literally were, you know, hotel room and track and nothing else. And I've been in the village 2 hours, so I can't really answer that. But I haven't met anyone who isn't really excited and keen to be part of it. But I suppose the caveat on that is they're probably not going to. You probably wouldn't have people who were anti as part of the organising staff, would you?
Yeah.
So my experience has been very positive. It's just been quite limited because we've been in very strict sort of, not quite quarantine, but strict bubbles, yeah, to ensure there's no crossover. And I think a lot of that is not just to ensure you don't get it, but it's to ensure if someone does get it that it's a really contained outbreak and it doesn't wipe out a whole event or sport or floor. So we're all really careful all through Europe, and none of us caught it. So we all hopefully everyone gets through the next couple of weeks and gets home safe.
So Bucks, that holding camp, was that one of the requirements put on by the Olympics, that once you arrive in the country you have to stay somewhere for a period of time before you go into the village?
No, it was. It was necessary because you can't enter the village until 5 days before your event or sport starts. Okay. So everyone from athletics got here today. And I think the idea was you'd do a holding camp somewhere on a time zone or in the weather, yeah, to get some sort of adaption, so you didn't fly straight from Europe to Japan 4 days out from your race. So all the people who'd been in Europe, and a couple from the US, like Pat Tiernan, were all in the holding camp with me. And then obviously all the a lot of the Aussies, excluding the Sydney ones, were all in up in Cairns with Ellie. I'd gather Julian, which I assume would be get on the time zone and do a bit of heat adaptation up there.
Yeah. So how is the heat?
Honestly, it's not that bad. It's I mean, where we were, the training we were doing, it's warm, but it's for an 8 minute race. I'm not too. It'll be pretty hot. You'll have to manage your energy, but I'm not too stressed about it. I can't speak for the marathoners, but I think we'll be all right. I think there'll be carnage races because I mean heat does mean you know you all pop, but I don't think it's something to stress about too much.
Yeah, cool.
Bucks, back to the
can't speak about marathon though, of course. So don't tell Ellie to throw it all out the window.
Yeah. Bucks, back to the qualifying period. Like you got in off ranking points. How nervous were you getting? Were you watching different results kind of filter in through the last couple of weeks there? And how were you kind of keeping an eye on the Australians, Matt Clark and Ed Trippis as well? Like you were the only one getting a start for a while there.
Well, I mean, there's two things there. I mean, the first thing is it's just so exciting that we've got three Aussies who've qualified. I mean, growing up, I mean, if you were lucky, you had one when Yusuf was making teams and before him, Sean Crichton. And the fact we've got three of us in and we've all run, I don't know, is it top seven Aussies all time, is just such a testament to how good the event's got, particularly when the national champion missed out. And like James is such a tough competitor. I've got great respect from living and travelling with over here for a few races. So I think it's phenomenal that the Aussies have all made it, and I'm grateful to be part of that. And in regard to the rankings, I mean, honestly, we made a decision after an 8:24 twice, me and Nick. He said, I think you just need to train now. And we sort of made the call that I think I was nine spots safe on the rankings. And the call was I'd be better prepped by just doing training in St. Moritz and not going again in a steeple in June again. And that paid off and I got picked. It got very tight by the end where I think six or seven guys around the time, including Ed on the last day. And I was certainly starting to feel a bit sick by the last couple of days, just because you just wanted the wait to be over like one way or another. Either I just wanted to know if I was in or not. Thankfully that our strategy did pay off and I got picked off my results and I could just focus on training and racing in the lead up and not sort of cook myself chasing times right to the death.
Yeah. And has there been a training partner or a mentor or anyone who's pulled you aside the last couple of days who's been there and maybe done this and kind of given you any like words of wisdom going in?
Not directly, but I'm really lucky. I spent a lot of time with Dave, this whole trip. We've roomed together in London and St. Moritz and now we're roomed together here. And he's obviously, you know, been making teams since 2009. He's now a three-time Olympian and he's done it all. So he's certainly looking after me.
And this will be the final one from me. Who are you looking forward to the most watching? Like any of your teammates or obviously like the men's 1500, is that the one that's floating your boat or the 5K or the marathon or pick one for me?
I don't think you can go past the 1500, just because both the Aussies and the and just how exciting the race and the final may be generally with how many guys are in there who think they're a chance of winning it. So I'd have to say the 1500. But I mean, I'm pretty emotionally invested in that one because I'm watching my training. I'm watching Stewie train every day, and I really want to see how he goes.
Yeah. Any other questions, fellas, before we let him go?
Yeah, Ben, is there a social lounge or anything where, like, post-event you can hang out, or is that just all off-limits for these games?
Again, I mean, you boys probably should have called me two days later when I knew what was going on. There's a couple of, like, athlete lounges just Athletics Australia, and they've got a spot set up outside the hotel with a few deck chairs and a couple of TV screens so you can watch live sport, which looks like a nice spot. But I'd be surprised if they had anything, any major social settings where there'd be crossover between athletes and sports, because that would seem a recipe for anyone who's got COVID just wiping everyone out. So I'm certainly looking forward to the buffet once I'm done, because it looks exceptional. But that's that's the main setup. Yep. Like, for example, Brady, I remember to this day, like 3 or 4 days post my race in Doha, and I'm looking for my third course of the meal and dessert. And above in the Julian, he's having white rice for dinner. It's the day of his marathon race. So I'm certainly planning on having a good crack after.
Poor marathon has always got to wait till the last day as well.
I mean, he was having beers about a week before with me. So, I mean, I'll leave that with you boys. But he's
a week's the cutoff.
Bucks, you've really gone on though, haven't you? Like, you know, you've now gone to the Olympics in the village and this guy's stuck in Anglesey. Hasn't really progressed the way you have.
Really sinking the boot in.
You'll be careful, Brady, because I get to finish this chat and you boys have to close out a long chat with Julian. So I'll leave.
He did do 47Ks last week though, Bucks. He's back on track.
One on Sunday or the whole week?
The whole week.
That's about what Bucks runs in a week, isn't it?
Pretty much. Probably all the way up low to Strava, to be honest. look, Brady, I'm in seriousness, I'm just very blessed. I mean, I've managed to make two teams in my late 20s, and I'm in the shape of my life at 29. So,
and you can hear it in your voice, Bucks. You sound really grateful to be there, and like you're really excited, and like nothing to lose, and like it's going to be so good watching you. What time on Friday is it exactly?
So the first heat's at 9 a.m. First track meet of the Olympics, and I will see what the heat draw has. There'll be an Aussie running at 9 a.m. in the first meet.
Will they draw you all exciting. In separate heats? They won't put you in the same.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Because I remember at Doha the girls, there were three girls in the steeple, and they all had separate heats.
Yeah.
So I assume that's the case. But again, a lot of these questions I'm going to discover for myself in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And
then after this, like they fly you straight out of there, or you get a couple of days there to let your hair down, and then like back to the European circuit for you, or you come home?
No, I'm coming straight home, boys. I have a flight to Sydney on the 4th. I'm in quarantine for 2 weeks. If I'm lucky, I might get a bit of sun in the window. We'll see where I get set up. So that's to look forward to. But honestly, I'd do 6 weeks quarantine if it means I get to run an Olympic Games. So that's fine. I'd made the call a while back with work and a few things. I was going to come back straight after. So I'd like to be racing again, but I'm pretty comfortable with that decision.
You know where we'll see him, Moose? Top 10 at AV. That's where we'll see him for the rest of the season, in the St. Stephen's Harrier singlet.
I don't know whether he makes top 10 out of quarantine.
It's pretty deep top 10 bucks to keep an eye on.
Honestly, out of quarantine, I think I'll be struggling, but we'll hopefully there's not a race 2 days. I think National Cross is 2 days after I get out of quarantine.
It's been cancelled.
I was planning on giving that a miss. But I'll also be so keen to get out of quarantine. I probably would put on a single in a race. So we'll just sit on Brady all day and try and outkick him at the end.
Yeah, a few bats there, keep it company. It's a way to do it. Any more questions for him, fellas?
No, not from me. Just good luck, mate. Enjoy that buffet at the end.
Thanks for having me, boys. Sorry if I rambled a bit.
That was great.
Just enjoyed the chat. So
the Road to Nowhere team are thinking you might have a haircut before the first heat, Bucks. Any truth in that?
No, I don't think so. I've run PB. I've had a good season so far. I'm not gonna change things now.
Yeah, I like it. Bit of swag's good. Staple too, I reckon.
I think it's probably not a bad idea to get rid of that.
I have shaved the beard. It's halfway to respectable.
You reckon get rid of it, Moose?
Yeah, I don't. It's a real weird haircut, Ben.
Who was the mad snake from Kenya? Was it Ezekiel Kemboy? He had real good swagger.
He did. He was a dancer.
Staple's good for
him. I mean, if you're good enough to win the race, I think you can do whatever you want, surely. That's a bit of a difference. He was taking his shirt off with 50 metres to go and celebrating lane 7. So, I mean, that's a unique way of sending it, which I don't plan on doing. I'll take it on notice, Julian. You'll find out when the race starts.
Oh, yes. Good.
There's a chance. All right, Bucks. Well, thanks for your time. Stay safe over there.
All the best for the last
couple of days of preparation. And, we'll be screaming at our TV sets on Friday anytime around 9 a.m. cheering you on from over here.
Cheers. 10 a.m. your time. But
10 a.m. our time.
Cheers.
That's good. Cheers, boys. We are now in the classroom just to get set up before the kids can start watching some Olympics. See you, Bucks.
Sounds good. Good luck, Bucks.
Thanks, boys. Bye.
See you, mate.
All right. He's a good little talker, isn't he, Bucks? That was good.
I think he's had some media training.
What? That? Do you reckon they get him trained up before they get over there?
Nah.
No, you don't?
I just reckon he's listened to heaps of shit interviews on here, and so now he knows what not to do.
He's been an interviewee on here. I interviewed him once.
He's definitely better this time round.
He's been practicing, you reckon?
Yeah.
Didn't give him much notice, so he's done well if that's the case. We've talked about Brisbane 2032. Other bit of news coming out of the States was Matthew Centrowich tried to break Alan Webb's American mile record, which is 3:46. He didn't get it. He ran 3:49. Bit of hype around it. Good YouTube link, good video. But pace has dropped out about, a K in? And then, yeah, he just struggled the last 600 metres. Still ran PB. But a bit of a show on his hand going into Rio. Not Rio, Tokyo. What kind of shape is in? Anything to add there, fellas, before we move on?
Move on.
I reckon Stewie will take care of him, no worries. And Jai and Ollie. I reckon Centro's no chance of going back-to-back. That's only my opinion, though. Listen to the question, Croaks.
Yeah, it comes from Jack Werrett this week. Brad always cops it for running easy runs too fast. What are the benefits of running slower paces, and how do you stop your ego getting in the way? For example, turn off Strava, pace features on watch, etc.
Good question, Jack. Long-time supporter as well.
Yeah, well, the benefit of running a slower pace is that you recover in between your harder workouts and you actually run in a more aerobic zone where your heart rate can develop some of those physiological systems and adaptions a lot more efficiently. So that's the benefit, is to allow yourself more time. Have you ever heard of like the 80-20 theory?
Yeah.
So 80 refers to easy, and that's aerobic. And if you're always running it too hard, then your training might end up being something like 50-50 or 55-45, and you're actually not getting the polarization required to get fitter. So you're always working in this gray zone where you're not really having the best workouts, but you're not recovering and you're not getting aerobic benefit to always running outside your actual aerobic zone.
Moose, have you ever thought about that the other way? Because I know that 80-20 was modeled on like professional athletes. But if I look at most of my weeks, like last week, for example, I probably ran 25 Ks of quality stuff and the rest was like aerobic jogging. So that would only be like 15%.
Yeah, that's...
But it's better to be the 15% than the 25%. But yeah, do you think sometimes we need to like up it? That's maybe why people are doing 3 workouts a week.
I don't think so, because what we train for is long distance aerobic events.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think you've got to factor in sustainability of the athlete
because
you're working, well, you're not working full time, but you're working a lot.
Oh, I work full time pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're working full time. So
like 70-hour weeks, if you call that full time.
Yeah. The recovery required from intense workouts, you might not get. And that's why maybe it's safer to sit with more aerobic volume than with higher ratio of higher intensity.
Yeah, especially when,
especially with you. Well, you know, if you're doing 160K a week, there's multiple doubles in there.
Yeah.
So you have to run slower. But I think if you run less,
your ratio would be pretty close because you're not doing the doubles, but you're hitting 130.
Yeah, so like I'm
probably
finding
still doing
that,
25K quality. So what's that? 25, 130. Yeah, you're 19.2%, Croaks. You're nearly there.
And if you're only doing single runs, you can probably get away with it a bit more than if you're doing doubles. Like,
The second. There's part a of brilliant. The question.
There's a listener actually that we have. I'm not sure whether she still listens. Nikki Gibson, her name is.
Yeah, she's on Twitter.
Yeah, and she did. She put together a great study, actually. I'm gonna find it. You guys talk. I'm gonna find it. Where she compared. She looked at Kipchoge's training breakdown, and she looked at some of the better marathoners as to the zones that they kind of worked in. So I'm gonna find that, and I'm gonna tell you.
Didn't she do it for you as well? Didn't she work for yours?
Did.
Yeah,
she did.
That'd be good if you find that. Second part of the question, Croaks, was how do you stop your ego getting in the way? So, like, getting a bit too quick on your easy days. He kind of said, for example, turn off Strava, pace features on watch. I just really just go, I have, like, a stopwatch base set up on my Coros. I think I've spoken about this before. Every time I do easy jogs, that's the only thing I look at. I know if I want to do 20K, it's going to be close to, like, 90 minutes. So I'll just go 45 minutes out or 45 minutes back. When I get out in front of my house, I turn over to see the distance. Sometimes it's 410, sometimes it's 440s. I just really listen to my body, and I don't even engage in that ego part of things. The only bit of that ego bit I get into is when, like, you notice most of my Arvo runs are like 7K, because if they're 32 minutes or something like that, it just gets a bit messy and I like rounding up to the nearest K. So when I get on here on Monday night, that's easy to kind of read out.
I think another strategy, and this is where I sometimes like I come undone a little bit, is remembering when you're out for a run, like how this fits into the big picture.
Yeah.
And so there'll be a day, for example, it'll be maybe a Wednesday and I'm running along and yeah, I've come off the session on the Tuesday and for whatever reason, I might actually feel like I'm really activated on the Wednesday and I roll along and I get like 30 minutes in to an 80 minute run. And I'm like, oh, I feel really good. Like, I don't necessarily push the pace, but I'm like, man, I'm running 4 minute Ks and not really putting in any effort when really it's probably on the faster side of an easy run. And so if you remind yourself of, all right, this Wednesday is more about time on the feet, not pace, like but slow
do
it down.
You know you're running 4 minute Ks? Do you have split coming up? Why wouldn't you just turn that off and just say, like, I know I'm running controlled, I'm covering the ground well, but I'm not buying into what the time is?
For me, it often, and we had this discussion ages ago, and I think Moose actually mentioned it once. He goes, I remember there was one episode where Moose, like, sort of got the reason why I run the way I run, and it just feels fun, and it feels good when you have that flow state.
It's a sweet spot, yeah.
Regardless of what day of the week is, like, if you just, once you hit that point, you're like, I love running. This is awesome. And you don't want to let it go and go, oh, I'm just going to start like really plodding now. Like you just go, oh, I'm just floating on top of the ground. So, but you know, if you're a bit more disciplined in terms of, all right, well, what's, you know, how does this fit into the rest of the week? Okay. I do need to be a little bit more disciplined here rather than just letting the enjoyment of the run take over and maybe, you know, decrease, you know, how well you're recovering.
And like with Strava, what's that saying? Is that comparison is the thief of joy? Like, just if you're looking at other people's splits and what they're uploading and stuff, that's why social media is so bad. Strava's actually not too bad because you see it every single day. So like someone might look good for 3 or 4 days and then all of a sudden they've got to back it off because they're broken or they're tired or whatever. So at least it's pretty honest. Whereas Instagram, it's only the good stuff.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, Brady, because even – you know, comparing sessions. So, for example, on Friday, doing that 25-minute tempo, I averaged 3:22s. And, like, yeah, it's on trails. There's, like, two hills in it. But that doesn't look very good on Strava, like 3:22s. When you compare to the session that I did with, like, Sinead, where I averaged 3:22s for 70 reps. Minutes,
yeah.
including recoveries, but the sessions in terms of effort were probably on par, but you know, but the one on the road, the one on the flat road in super shoes looks way better than what I did out at Mulligan's, even though the effort was the same. So that's why you just can't compare.
Three Olympians around you, like helping someone prepare for an Olympic marathon. You get up a bit higher. Yeah. Don't compare stuff. Only follow people on Strava that you kind of like. You know, it's like on social media, don't follow people who are only going to put up good stuff. Like, I know there's a few runners, they only upload good super sessions. And you're like, well, that's not fair. You got to show us what the recovery days look like and, like, the days when you don't feel good. I don't get why people do that. Anyway, Jack, hope we answered your question. Moose, are you back from Moose on the Loose? Oh, good boss. When you disappear to find something, you don't just fully go off the call, do you?
I thought he was like searching online.
He's got his mic on mute. He's just walking through his bookshelf trying to find something. He probably doesn't even know he's got it on mute either. He's probably trying to talk to us in Anglesey. But yeah, hopefully we get him back a bit sooner rather than later.
Talk about what's coming up.
Plenty's coming up. You've been putting your bets on? Oh, I think he's back now. Are you back?
Oh, wait, I'm here. Oh, yeah. Did I accidentally mute? Oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you find it?
I was listening. That was good. No, I couldn't find it. I'm sure I'll find it 5 minutes after the show, but
we'll try and find it and put in the show notes as well.
It was basically like, 85% was done easy, and then there was like 10% that was done at race pace, which was marathon pace, and then there was like 5% done at faster than race pace. It was something crazy like that.
So, it was only hitting 15% of quality stuff.
This was
85-15
marathon training. Marathon training, not but it was like 80-15-5. So there was like under pace or over pace, whatever you want to say, faster than race pace too. But it was a lot of easy running, like masses of easy running
at altitude over rolling hills. Like, strong. Anyway, Moose on the Loose, purchase of the week.
Well, I set up the spin bike, but I got it like before we even left for Noosa, so it wasn't really a purchase of the week, but that'll be good to get going. One thing that I need to address.
I can see the note here, the title, but I don't know what it is.
For some reason, I listened to Road to Nowhere the other day out on a run.
And, you listen every week, don't you?
And heard this, I was thrown under the bus, actually, by Ali saying that I gave a motivational speech halfway through the workout.
This was interesting. Can I just cut in for 2 seconds? So on the last week's show, you described Ali's workout in your weekly recap and how she, you know, started getting goosebumps and stuff. And then on her show, which she is the star of the show, we'll call it her show, she described it, but it was completely different to the way you described it.
Yeah, she's definitely thrown me under the bus. Like, at no point was there a motivational speech given at any point.
She said you stopped her and then started doing like, a massive like footy coach type speech. And then that's when she got the goosebumps, and you thought she got the goosebumps because the speech was so good. She's really about to bloody just like dehydrated, isn't she?
Moose has been watching some of those Troopy videos on Sweat Elite, getting some motivational.
You and Troopy are both great at motivational speeches.
Please, you blokes. You haven't let me rebut yet.
Okay,
sorry.
So there was nothing, like she said it was like a halftime footy speech, right?
Yeah.
Now, first up, she's never played footy. And she's never heard a halftime footy speech in her life, so she wouldn't know. All that was said at the time was that some athletes, this could, like, how an athlete comes back from having a really bad day can determine if they come 70th in the race or they come like 40th, right? And so it's important to be able to continue without being super negative and upset, able to just get on with the job even at a slower pace. That's not a halftime footy speech or motivational. Right. But I've figured out exactly why she's done that to me, to embarrass me. And it probably comes up. She's probably resenting me a little because I had to organize like an intervention up in Noosa. Joe, Bree and I all had to sit down and intervene. We sat down and we all had to tell us.
Is this basically bullshit?
It's not bullshit.
What is it?
We all had a story about how she'd embarrassed us by telling everybody anywhere that she was going to the Olympics.
is not true.
It is true. So
she's so modest.
We went to a cafe and they handed her, instead of like a table number, they gave like a picture of a sports person and she got a same Bolt. And as soon as she got it, she said, oh, this is great. I'm going to the Olympics too. To the guy with the...
she did not.
She did so. And so Bree and I were just like trying to escape this embarrassing situation. Then the next time Joe said he was out for a run and a guy was running towards him and recognized her. And instead of just waving and smiling and saying hello, she actually turned around and ran with him and within 10 seconds said, hi, I'm Ali. I'm going to the Olympics. And Joe was like, what is this? We're supposed to be out for a run and all of a sudden you're just trying to like make it all about yourself. And then the third thing it was my story. I was trying to work out why we were always running in this like terrible spot in Noosa. It was really crowded with people, and we always have to run like right on twilight when everyone's walking their dogs. And it was I worked out after a few weeks up in Noosa that it was because she was getting recognized down there. And she was just loving herself. So we would have to run through these crowds just so people could get a look at her, and then they would shout something out. So she's fully bought into the Ali Fashley rock star.
Decent rebuttal. Isn't she fuming because Woolworths didn't make one of those stickers of her? You know, they got like the Olympians, you know, the kids at school got them. You collect the stickers and then you trade them with each other, but there's no Ali Fashley one.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they were talking about it in the Road to Nowhere group chat the other day. Yeah.
Does everyone else have one?
I don't know if everyone has one, but I just know that she didn't get one.
And then is
there's that TV, you know, the TV ad when the kid's got three Steph Gilmores and wants to swap one for like a swimmer, then the kid won't swap with it. You seen that TV ad?
Yet? Keep the three Steph Gilmores, swimmers.
Well, they want to swap for like a Michael Klim. He's been retired for like 10 years.
I don't reckon they have that many athletes though. Like there's probably, I don't know, what do you reckon? There's 50 maybe? I don't know how many.
Bert Whistle's got one.
How many are there to collect?
Is there one of Sinead?
I don't know.
I have no idea. How do you find that stuff out?
I don't know. You see the big posters when you go to the supermarket and stuff. You know,
we've got a few of them here.
You collected them, Crooks?
Which ones have you got? No, I'm not collecting them. I don't know. Just hang on a second.
So who have you got? Go see if you got Pashley. Yeah, when you go through the register, it's like, do you want to collect your four pitcher?
There's a lot of people in the Olympics.
Yeah, they wouldn't have the whole Australian team. You'd have to be to get there.
You've got like a team of hockey players. Basketball.
They wouldn't have individual. They'd have Paddy Mills for basketball.
We had a couple of handballers. Sam Stoser and Dylan Alcott.
Oh, yeah. Big names.
Mark Leishman and Hannah Green, some golfers.
Golf?
A badminton player.
Is golf in the Olympics?
Come on. Surely a marathoner gets a gig.
Gronya Somerville, Matt Cowdery and Ellie Cole, some Paralympic swimmers.
Well, I bet he said I've got a couple. He comes back with like 30
of them. I reckon I'd be stiff if I was a marathoner and these people are
Curtis McGrath and Jess Fox, the kayakers.
Yeah. Oh,
Jeff Horn.
I thought you were going to say Jeff Risley then.
Jeff Horn, is he a boxer?
Yeah.
Is he in the Olympics this year?
Some wrestler, no. So I don't know how they've chosen the athletes.
He's got a sticker and he's not even in the Olympics this time around.
No.
Jeez.
Well, they've got past Olympians.
Yeah, that's it.
They've got numbers on them. So there's
Klim got one.
The highest number I've got here is number 79. So there must be at least that many.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, good to Moose on the Loose, Julian. What's coming up? So we got the Olympics track and field kicking off this Friday. We got the men's steeples. That'd be Ben Buckingham, Matthew Clark, Ed Trippis. Had all those guys on the show. Clarky's Shoe Geeks, and we're going to have a bit of audio. They called Clarky last week on Road to Nowhere, so you hear a bit from him. At the end of this episode, Ben's 10K is going to be on between now and next week. So Pat Tiernan in that. Izzy Rose and Jenny Blundell in the women's 5K. That's going to be interesting. We could possibly see one of them break 15 minutes. Women's steeple, Jen Gregson, Amy Cashin, Georgia Winkup. Men's 800, Jeff Risley, Charlie Hunter, Peter Boll. And the women's 800, Katrina Bissett and Morgan Mitchell. Fellas, a bit to get excited about between here and next week's show.
It's coming. It's happening.
Any
so when are we going to, when are we going to do these multis and stuff? Did you talk about that while I was?
No, we're about to. So I think it's on Rival Bet. They've got a few in there. I can see people getting in there. And I think you can, it's like a social, it's like different than a traditional kind of betting app where you can like add, I think I've added you guys as rivals and then we can see who's betted on what. Few of the pots are starting to get pretty big in there, which is good.
I don't like that option.
How you can that see. Feature?
No, because you can see if you've betted against people that you're, like are your friends.
Yeah, did you see?
I don't like it at all.
Zaka was saying you can see the history and stuff. Like he clicked on Matty Gunther today, your mate from down the surf coast there, and he said he's been winning on like footy multis. He's like building his pot up before he even starts the athletic stuff. But yeah, there's a few different bets on here. There's one with Katrina Bissett and Peter Boll. That's got $140 in the pot there already. There's one about Safan Hassan and Chepwegai. Will they both win? There's like a multi just about Stewie.
One on Bucks.
Will Bucks make the final? Will Eliud Kipchoge win the gold
in the
marathon?
What do you bet on that, Croaks?
I haven't bet yet. I've only bet on one.
Did you take that bet? Will Bucks make the final?
I haven't done it yet.
I bet yes.
Well, did you?
I bet no.
There's $70 in that pot already, and there's 65% of people said no.
To be fair, he was on, what, half an hour ago, and he's like, it's going to be a pretty tough ask to make the final. Like, you know what I mean? But
well, he's going in ranked, what, 42nd, yeah. And they take 12. Like, that's going to be, if he makes the final, that is amazing.
I like the
attitude, though. There's one with Pat Tiernan. Will he finish top eight? That could be a winner, but there's plenty there. So rival bet, Inside Running Podcast, if you want to have a look at what we're talking about. Try and take a bit of our money. See how you go.
It's fun.
Well, Zach said you were betting on like surfing or something today.
Yeah.
Did you win?
Well, no, it's about a medal.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm still there. Owen Wilson and Sally Fitzgibbon both threw. Julian Wilson knocked out. So we're still good, but no one. I mean, fuck the pay. We need some people to jump in.
So the payouts get bigger.
The payout's not great right now.
The athletics isn't until Friday. There'll be plenty of people getting on board between now and next week.
The good thing is the buy-ins. Like a lot of them aren't that high.
Yeah, and if you don't win, if no one wins the pot in some of those multis, they just refund the money. You get your money back in your account. So that's coming up. Heaps to get excited about. There's been a few. I know your mate, the lawnmower moose, Clay Hopgood, made up a bit of a timetable. We might link to his Twitter account as well about when all these times are coming in. Best if you print that off, stick it on your fridge. You start getting excited, cheering some Australians. And then not all the big dogs, but the next week's show is going to be massive, talking about the marathon, the 1500, the men's 5K. Yeah, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. Can't wait to watch it all. What's happening in your life, Croaks, between now and next week?
Lots of Olympic viewing.
Yeah.
I got a text message at 7 o'clock this morning saying, can you work today? And I was tempted, said to Viv, I wouldn't mind staying home watching the Olympics today, especially because the triathlon had just started. But I went to work, so I might bank a few extra days this week and then maybe have a bit of time off when the athletics is on.
Yeah, good idea while the swimming's happening. Moose, what are you doing between now and next week's episode?
Well, similar to Brad, I've been in front of the TV a lot just because the store's shut. We're in lockdown still. Hopefully find out tomorrow whether we can go back to work or not.
Yeah, hopefully regional should be right, shouldn't it?
Don't know. Mate, can't predict.
Sick of predicting these kind of things.
We're beyond that. Your mate in the comment might tell us.
Yeah.
If he could predict, he'd be all over rival bet.
That's true.
Will the lockdown be over? That could be a good field.
Sure, that's a market somewhere.
It would be for sure. So we're going to throw to some audio that the Road to Nowhere guys got with Matthew Clark, another men's steepler. So you'll get to hear from two of them this week before he races on Friday as well. They call someone every week on their show and, for a laid-back chat. And this is what you're going to hear now. See you, fellas.
See you, guys.
See you later.
Brent, I think that's funny. It's like the opposite. All right.
Our okay. Poor guest is listening to this garbage.
Too bad. Make him listen.
So, bring.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, here he is.
Hey.
So, welcome to the show, recently selected Olympian Matt Clark. How you going?
Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you. Clark.
Good to hear from you, mate.
That's amazing.
Joel just tried to tell us at the start, Matt, that he's the best friend with you out of everyone.
Definitely.
Even though I phoned you as my friend.
What do you mean?
Like, we've had many battles over the years. Maybe rival. Maybe like AV rivals.
Yeah,
ooh,
that's for sure.
Rivals.
I sent you a huge big message to congratulate you, Matt, for the Olympics, and you didn't even respond. You left me on red.
He's too famous now.
I just wanted to give him anxiety. I'm joking. I didn't message you. I'm a selfish prick.
He's injured, so he hates you.
I messaged Barks actually, Matt. Sorry about that. Yeah. But congratulations.
No, I think I will be. Even though actually,
I don't think any three of you messaged me actually.
Ali did saying, "Can you come on the podcast, please?" I don't have any other friends.
I said congrats in person.
So
yeah, Ellie, this is your phone a friend, right? What are Matt's PBs? Go.
All right.
Without Matt's looking.
PBs are as for the steeple. He ran 822.0 something. Eight?
Not quite. 0.13.
0.13.
That's pretty good, Ellie.
Yeah. That one I know. 10K. You ran a good 10K once. I remember that. 20. Did you run 28 high?
I guess it's past 30. Yeah, it's 28:39.
That's Ellie. That's mid.
28 mid.
You'd be saying mid, definitely.
5K. Yeah. I'm just gonna guess here. 13:50. 13:52. Oh, that's good.
That's a really good guess.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
What about half marathon, Matt?
You'd know, Nick, because you got me that day.
I'll bring that up later. Anyway, Ellie, good performance there, actually.
Yeah. So, Matt, some of the listeners might have followed his journey a bit, but basically in the week leading into the final cutoff for Olympic qualification, he ran three steeplechase races and in two of them missed the automatic time by less than a second, and was then told that he missed a quota spot by – were you one spot out, Matt?
Yeah, so they take 45 and I finished up in 46.
Oh, yep. And then what happened after that? You can tell us the story.
So I missed out. And then Athletics Australia said that, you're out. Sorry, we've selected Bucks and Trippus. And then we got some word that the British guy didn't get selected, but he was appealing. And so we kind of just said to Athletics Australia, what happens if, if his appeal doesn't go through? Like, does anything happen? Like, can the positions be reshuffled? And they said, yeah, so if it gets done before the 5th of July, we can select you. And so this was I think around the 30th of June, I think they picked the team. So then, second of July they picked the first of July they picked the team. So then the 5th of July rolled around. I hadn't heard anything. So then when the phone rang, it was at night as well. I was just expecting, okay, here comes some bad news. It's the end of the deadline. And they called me up and they said, Matt, a quota spot's become available and you're selecting the team.
Oh, holy shit. Oh, yeah. What did you do?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Like the actual quote was more, Andrew Fakeney had high performance, called me and he goes, Matt, how are you going? And I said, oh, all right, it's been a long week. And he goes, you better perk yourself up. I've got some good news for you. And that's going to be more. And I just emotionally broke down. Like, I just couldn't believe. I honestly just couldn't believe the words that came out of his mouth because I was so convinced they were going to be, it was going to be bad news.
An emotional week too. Hope of, oh, maybe there's a spot, but no, I haven't heard anything. And then even in the weeks before that, getting so close to the time, it must've just been,
I remember watching, because I watched which one did you do at night? Or were they both at night?
They were both at night. Yeah, the first one was in Townsville.
And where was the second one?
Second was at Runaway Bay.
Yeah, that's the one I watched at Runaway Bay. And I don't forget what live stream I was watching, but I forget who it was, but they were walking across, diagonally across the infield as you'd finish, and they're waiting and waiting, and no one knew. Like, it was touch and go, and it was
so
still on the live stream. And I was like, come on, tell us. And it was just a little bit of a lull. And he goes, you just hear him just go, he didn't get it, did he? And then it was like, he just missed it. And I was like, fucking hell. Like, surely you could have sprinted a bit harder. And then when I saw, when I woke up and I was like, holy shit, you made it. Like, fuck, like, I'm pretty sure the whole of Australia was behind you. This could have been avoided.
Yeah.
If AA had a no top bun policy, the Bucks wouldn't have been in and you would have had his spot originally. So.
They should have that policy, actually.
I had a man bun when I started steepling. I thought I'd like channel some of my like inner Evan Jaeger energies when I first.
Why? But then you grew up, didn't you? That's the problem with Bucks.
Yeah, that's
just
it. Yeah,
and then just haven't quite done it. No, it was great. Absolutely, I'm so happy for you, mate.
So it's because of UK athletics just being assholes. That's basically why you're in, right? Like, essentially.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They've got a strict selection policy. It's like if you don't get the if you don't get the time, and you're not kind of showing that you're a good chance of finishing in the top eight, or you're really young, they pick you.
They're such bastards. Wow. And the whole London 2012 inspire a generation. And now they're not picking people that are eligible to go. It's just like, this is the Olympics, you assholes.
Yeah, useless but also, bastards. If they picked him, then Matt would have missed out. So, fuck, I think they're doing a good job. I prefer that. Yeah. Thanks.
Good on you, GB.
So, I kind of feel like at least the guy who's run faster this year is getting in.
Yeah, definitely. So. It was this whole points system is ridiculous. Like, what the hell? Fastest runner
it would
should
have
go.
Been so that would have been really shit. Like, it's so good that all three of you get to go because that would have been so shit. You missing out running those 8:22s.
Especially when you do that's two back to back. Like,
I know. And then
someone has to just go.
Bart
is
pissing around.
And in Australia, like,
solo ridiculous. Pretty much.
How did you get yourself up for those races? Like, I know you had Matt, was Max Stevens, did he pace you for all of them? But how do you go into that mentally, like, okay, because there's really just, it's just time, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess you've just got to will yourself to do it. Like, I think, I guess you just kind of got to block out all the negative thoughts and negative talk being like, oh, you've got to run, you know, the second fastest time in Australia ever or something that's like seemingly impossible. And you've just got to just back yourself to be like, you know what, I'm in good form. I've been knocking sessions out of the park. I've been feeling good. I couldn't ask for a better pacemaker. And Max, who's like an 8:29 guy in himself and national champ from a couple of years ago, like you're not going to get a better opportunity than this. Like the conditions are good. Like you just got to go for it and just believe in yourself, I guess.
So yeah, do you think about the Olympics while you're running?
Not really. I think you've just got to like, well, at least for me, I guess everyone's different, but for me, I just focus, as specifically as possible on the task at hand. So that for me is, you know, like, relaxing as much as I can early, executing each barrier and then, picking it up with three laps to go. Each lap has to be faster and faster and faster.
That's the thing, Ali, you might, you know, you've got the luxury when you're doing big races, you can think about the Olympics, but when you actually have to jump over a physical barrier, you actually have to think about something. Like Ali's like, oh, the Olympic, bang, smacked it.
So, Matt,
I guess the steeple's from, sorry, Nick, just one thing. Like, yeah, that's probably nice in that way, is it, with the each barrier, like, you know, breaking the race down for you?
Yeah, I think when you're on, and I think, like, I mean, most races, I think, this year anyway, I've been able to, yeah, you're right, use the steeples as a distraction. And I've been able to, I guess, not really be focusing on the fatigue, but focusing on, all right, hit that barrier well, push off, execute the next one. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're kicking down at the end. But if you're having a bad day, all you're thinking about is, I don't know how I'm going to get my leg over this next barrier.
So Matt, in the beginning of 2019, I did a race with you in Newcastle, and like you were doing pretty well at the time, but you were nowhere near the athlete you are now, and that was only 2 years ago. Like, have you changed in your training to like get you to that level?
So I'd say the biggest move in terms of like the biggest aspect of my life is I've literally packed up all my stuff and moved cities. So yeah. I was in Melbourne at the time and I've since moved to Adelaide. And I think doing that has allowed me to really just set my life up around running.
And so, you're focusing on steeple like all the time basically now? Yeah.
There's nothing else to do in Adelaide. So of course you're going to be good at running.
funny. I do kind of make that joke a little bit. There are a lot less distractions there, which like for me, I actually find it a lot easier to focus, and like just small things by less distractions as well. Like, you know, travel time's half everywhere, so I'm not traveling as much. I'm getting that little bit more sleep. I finished uni since, so now instead of juggling work, uni, and running, I'm just doing work and running. I've been fortunate enough that like Nitta, who's my boss, he does the Shrew Geeks podcast, he's pretty flexible with me picking my hours on where it fits in with training and I'm in a pretty fortunate position where I've kind of set my life up really well around running as well, and specifically this year as well, I've been working with a sports psychologist as well, and he's given me a lot of strategies on just approaching races a bit more systematically and kind of leaving the emotion at the door, and I think that for me has really worked wonders.
Oh, amazing. Mm. You're right.
There you go.
So, so Matt, I'll just bring up this race because it's like my finest moment.
Not likely to bring it back to him.
We're running the Burnley half marathon, right? You get out sprinted by this old man. Okay? Did you then think, forget half marathons, like, oh, I'm good at steeplechase? Like, was that the moment? And would you give that person who beat you any credit for you going to the
Well, I think, yeah, at that point I wasn't steepling, and I was like, oh, geez, this guy's just absolutely smashed me in his half marathon, and he does a bit of steeple, actually, so maybe this is the pathway I need to follow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, all right. That's bullshit, yeah, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Nick is so stoked right now.
Matt, can I ask a serious question? When you went to steeple, like the first time, obviously, you know, you're a handy runner across a few other events, but obviously you thought you're going to have a shot at steeple. That first time, I'm assuming it was down at a track, like jumping over and stuff. Did you, that first time there was a coach there, and were they like, shit, you know, you like, it was it instant, like, yeah, you could do this? Because I know from my personal experience, I went there once, and you know, the coach was just like, please leave immediately, like that. Like, it was like it was embarrassing.
You couldn't see the whole Joel, like his natural technique over barriers,
so bad. But yeah, like, was it something that was just you naturally sort of fell into? Obviously, I'm assuming you have to keep working at it and do a lot of skill-based stuff. But was it sort of, those first few sessions?
I definitely wasn't as technically sound, obviously, as what I am now. But I definitely think I'm a fairly coordinated guy, luckily.
Yeah.
And I definitely took to it, I think, a bit faster than what most people did.
Some people, for sure.
Yeah, but saying that as well, like I put in a lot of skill development hours into it. So like I started before my first steeple, which was I think in December, January, December. So it was like midsummer. I was already doing weekly, if not.
Of which year?
Huh?
Of which year?
That would have been 2019, I think. Oh, yeah. It was December, it would have been 2018. It was January, it would have been 2018, 2019.
I wonder how many people technically you could claim that you were in the sport for 2 years and then made Olympics. I wonder how many people can claim that.
Yeah.
I'd be
up to pretty impressive
to that, mate.
I mean, but, you're only kind of adding one skill, so it'd be a niche claim.
Yeah, that's what the coach tried to tell me. You're just adding one skill. Yeah, righto.
Thing is, I can't do it. So, Matt, that race at Newcastle, this girl who I quite liked at the time, she sent me this photo of me jumping over the water jump and then you jumping over the water jump, and you could just see that you were clearing it, basically, 1 foot where I'm, like, knee deep in the bloody water. So you're
that's just... That was the meme, the guy she tells you not to worry about. Clarky going over the barrier. Compared to you.
She was like, oh, why are your legs that long? I'm like, yeah, exactly. I can't really do much about that.
Oh, don't worry about
that. And that girl is now Clarky's girlfriend.
Exactly.
So awesome. Anyway, like, you've clearly got some natural gifts in the steeple department, and you've I really like how you're focused on it, because like the same as Bucks as well, because he's always had really good technique over the barriers, and you've just
you guys are both
so impressive.
Whereas Stewie, we all remember Stewie when he went through his first world champs, jumping over that and just looked so bad. Whereas you guys look so fucking good going over them.
He's probably run a lot faster than me in between all the barriers, though.
Yeah. That's fine. So we got away with it, yeah.
So what's your schedule for the next few weeks then, Matt?
So it would have been nice to maybe squeeze like a 1500 race prep in, but I'm a bit struggling for anyone to race up here. So I'm the only male distance track athlete coming from Australia in the whole Olympic team. Every other guy, 800 up to 10K, are all coming overseas from the blokes. So
shit.
I'm getting a bit of a training block in, and then I'll be flying to Tokyo on Sunday. And then I don't really know exactly how the whole procedure is going to work over there, but then I guess settle in, race. I'm the first event of the program, so 30th of July, 9 o'clock Eastern time, I believe. I'll be racing in the morning.
Morning, 10 a.m. Clear your schedule, morning. Listeners. Take the day off work. The whole day.
I
mean, it doesn't
and
take
then
that long.
The steeple just goes heats, then final, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I guess because steeple's the one of the longer events, they're pretty generous in between heat and final. So I run the heat on the Friday, and if I make the final, it's not till the Monday. And it's a Monday night as well, so I get virtually... Cool.
Do you have any idea what you're going to need to run to get to the final? Have you had have a thought about that? Or
yeah, it's going to be tricky because, like, so on top of, like, the confusing points qualification where I'm, like, faster than a lot of people ahead of me, on top of that as well, there's a lot of people that haven't raced since their qualifier all the way back in 2019. So,
don't race at all.
Yeah, like, there's an Algerian bloke who literally has not finished any distance since his qualifier in 2019, and he's going.
Oh,
wow. The only result he's
doesn't
got is
sound dodgy. It sounds legit. Oh shit! The drug testers are over there. Well, I'm not finishing this one. Just jumping over the fence instead of the barrier.
Yeah, well, that's kind of good, isn't it? It's going to be a little bit unknown.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of spread either between the fastest time in the world and the slowest guy in the field either. I think that the fastest time this year has been El Bakali. He's run 8:08. And then the slowest qualifier, I think, is only 8:25. So
holy,
it's not
shit.
A huge,
Bucks. What's
a huge spread.
8:24.
Oh, so Bucks is pretty much the slowest in the field.
Yeah, he's not Bucks.
and he's got a top knot, so he's
he might be the only one with a top knot with Evan Jaeger out.
Oh yeah.
I reckon someone's gonna have cut that off by the time it's race day.
So how do you feel like you perform in the heat, Matt?
Yeah, I love the heat. Like, I've just been, like, the first thing I do when I get up to, like, Queensland, where I've been pretty luckily recently, is I just turn the aircon off in the hotel room. First thing I do, and I just basically soak it up. So I feel, I mean, no one runs faster in the heat, if that makes sense, but I think I'm affected a lot less than everybody else. So I kind of want it hot. I want it really hot and oppressive because I figure I'll suffer the least out of everyone.
Yeah, nice.
Good way to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, thanks for that, Matt. I think we need to wrap up the show. But, good luck with the rest of your prep. It's really exciting. You're going in with, like, a bloody good form. So hopefully that you can get another PB.
Thank you very much. Yeah, if I can dip under that 8:22, it qualifies me for Worlds as well next year. So that would
sweet.
Be
cool.
Well. Awesome, Matt. Good luck, cheers, mate. We'll be behind
awesome.
You.
Thank you very much, guys.
So are all 10 listeners. Yeah, cheers, Matt. See you later.
Brady was so excited, Matt, that we were getting you that he's going to put you on the main show.
Okay, oh, all 30 listeners. All right.
Vanity and narcissism and listen to it then if it's on the main show as well.
All right. Cheers, Matt. That's right.
Thanks,
yeah,
Matt.
Okay.
See ya.
So I'm going to go into my week. After that, that's such a highlight. Now, like, yeah, okay, Tuesday, fartlek session. Yeah, forget it. And then we had Tassie state champs cross country on the Saturday.
And I did not have a clue who was running. I didn't know who was down.